We're in a park right off Fifth Ave. Yeah. If the question is where are we sitting, it's, we're in Manhattan.
Madison Square.
Manhattan at Madison Square Park. Okay, first question is, do you guys think they'll ever record more Shallow?
It's probably inevitable.
I think it'll, I'm sure it'll happen. It's not something that we've put on the to-do list, but Shallow Gravy didn't break up. That would be an episode. And and if we had a Shallow Gravy breakup episode, there would be a song involved.
Yeah.
And then there'd be a song involved for their reunion, because local bands break up and reunite like they're big bands.
There'd probably be some solo efforts, too. I think.
And there would be solo efforts.
Helper's solo record.
Matter of fact, a reunion tour before they do any kind of... They should break up immediately and reunite.
Mm-hmm.
Dermot might learn to play guitar, just to kind of round the band out. Because it's hard to write for just bass, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, no, but Hatred plays guitar. 21 plays guitar.
What a fucking grown-up in the band. It's lame.
Just saying. We cut out a line about Dean and his ocarina, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Dean could do an ocarina solo.
Yeah.
There will be, Shallow Gravy.
Robert asks, Jackson recently said that he and Doc were writing some amazing stuff. What do they feel is really driving this great writing, and collectively, what has kept the show so strong in terms of quality, humor, and characterization for roughly 7 years now?
Yeah. The magical alchemy.
Yeah. That certain, what do you call it in French?
What's driving now? Being away from it for a while and being sick of doing everything but this, which always helps, which is maybe why I suffered so much in season four. We never had that period between when I had to freelance to pay my rent. I was just doing storyboards going, I really wish I was doing the Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
But, and also when we wrote the finale together, that actually planted the seeds of like three or four scripts that we're working on this year because
It's allergies.
We hadn't written together all year. So so we got together to write the finale and you know the magic was back.
Reinvigorated, fell back in love with the characters, came up with like 10 storylines that we may or may not do, but just a lot of time to hang out. And when you hang out, as you witnessed before, we start speaking in character and we just create something we love.
Yeah. Also, I got to see a lot of movies and read a lot of books this year, so that helps.
I don't go to the movie theater.
I know.
So are you guys worried that the same thing might happen between seasons 5 and 6 or something like that?
No, we're...
Not as much. We're actually trying to...
See if we can just keep going.
Yeah. We want to see how fast we can roll from one to the other. The whole problem is just how hard the show is to make and how... Just the way we staff things and just the process before just takes so much out of us. It's like we're writing for a bunch of months, but then it's like 9-10 months of production where I'm there like every day working like 12 hours a day. And then we're in post and we're both working like crazy. And so by the time you're done, it's been a year since you wrote anything and there was no time to write anything. And
yet you've still been
exhausted.
Working on the Venture Brothers
you've been
the entire
on the
time.
Venture Brothers and you're exhausted and the last thing you want to do is the Venture Brothers. So we're... hopefully going to get some help directing. We're hopefully going to have just better and better artists that need less supervision. People just kind of read your mind a little more. And I don't know. We got a better budget, so we're trying to do a better system. Titmouse, you know, has made a lot of stuff in-house, and they have a lot of ideas about how to streamline processes, even though we're not going to be making it in-house. So we're hoping it all goes better. And starting with more scripts is a big deal, too. Like, We used to always try to start with like 4 scripts because then, you know, once you're directing, you can only write on the weekends and at night and stuff like that, and it sucks. And we never started with 4 scripts even. We started with like 2 because the production company was like, we need to start. We told people they were starting, and we're out of money, so we need Venture Brothers money. So that's not going to happen this year.
Yeah, we're trying new things. I think it'll be good. We just picked up 2 sweet offices.
Yeah. We just came from what's going to be our new office space in a month. The new Titmouse.
New Titmouse. The base is the old base.
Yeah.
Carrie C. asks, what kind of advice would you give to a writer trying to create a good story like yours?
This is my advice for anybody who thinks they have a great idea. Just do it. Just go ahead and... go as far forward with the idea as you can. Don't wait around for somebody to finance it. Just do it. And if it's good, somebody will find out about it and you'll start getting help. To have just a kernel of an idea and then run around trying to sell it is no way to do it. Just move forward. Keep moving forward. And eventually, if it's truly a good idea, people will come to it. So if she wants to write a good script. It's
good. Yeah, we can't tell you how to write a good script. Other than write the first 50 bad scripts and then
be okay
you'll
be
with
better.
It. But
yeah, be okay with writing crap. And then keep moving forward. Judge your own stuff harshly. Don't believe in other people's criticisms either. Be your own tough critic. Because other people will tell you their agenda, and it's not helpful. If you can't criticize your own work, you might not be a writer. It's possible.
Actually, one guy just wants to know when you're going to kill her off.
We kind of did. I mean, we sent her to Florida rehab. That's as good as killing off.
That is a death.
Of sorts.
Now we got to bring her back.
Yeah.
Now that we've just put the kibosh on it, we're going to have to challenge ourselves to do it. Now that I said that, people demand it, and we'll go back to not doing it. So
more people ask.
Yeah, I think we should have Orpheus adopt Kim now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe the, what's his name? The Jefferson Twilight can date Kim. What are they called? Those May December? What is that one called? Yeah, why not? Why not?
Which relationship is more strained? Jonas Venture Jr. with his in-laws or the Monarch with his in-laws?
Jonas Venture.
Oh, these people. Well, Jonas doesn't. Oh, in-laws. Oh, so Sally's parents? Are they married yet? Did we actually marry them? I don't think so.
No. He could have been married in their own traditional. There's some weird ethnic way on the island.
Well, then maybe we need to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or do you think he'd have this weird Indian ceremony?
Maybe up on Gargantua, maybe.
Inexplicable Indian ceremony. I'm wearing the bear pelt.
Combining all faiths. We don't want to offend anyone. Monarch. Actually, Monarch with his in-laws, that'd be pretty hot, because he's a pain in the ass son-in-law. He would not handle that well. We haven't touched on her parents yet, but...
We've extended their family. We talk about it a lot.
Yeah. It's been a couple of years, but we used to talk about it a lot. That'd be more fun. Monarch's just a more fun character to put in a situation like that. Anyway.
Any domestic situation with the Monarch is funny.
Yeah. I just put the glass down. She's fucking washing it already.
Yeah, exactly.
She's in the kitchen washing it. It wasn't done. She's killing me. Anyway.
Anna Maria asks if Doc has any plans on releasing Weep on vinyl.
What a strange question. The next record we do, because, you know, what's the point of making CDs? Everybody likes to download. And what I hear people do now is they make a very small vinyl release with a download information in the vinyl, or you can just get the download information. And I like the idea of vinyl and to do a small release. So the next record, the one that I'm working on now, I might actually release on vinyl, strangely enough, or cassette.
Single.
Yeah. The thing about vinyl that I like is it's a larger place for artwork. Yeah. And as an object that is representational of music, it's a more successful object, where a cassette kind of blows.
Cassettes always blew.
They blew.
Even when they were the newest technology, they were horrible.
They were horrible.
They always hated them.
So I might do that, because, you know, a very small amount of people are still tied to their CD players. Most people have moved on to iPods and stuff, and there are a lot more vinyl collectors, and I like the medium more. I like the idea that it's a physical representation, not a digital representation of it. So yeah, why not? Maybe I will.
Oh, and
put season 5 out on vinyl.
We put a full season of Venture Brothers, like, see if we get the Peter Pan people, they're out in New Jersey, to do a book and record set. Beep, turn the page.
Oh, and she also asks if Shallow Gravy will ever perform live.
I'll give you a spoiler. My band Weep has learned
Jacket.
Right? which doesn't include, it's only keyboards, drums, and bass. That is the lineup of Shallow Gravy. And one of these days, we'll do a Weep show. Jackson will get dragged out on stage, we'll videotape it, and whoever's there is there, and I smell a special feature, live Jacket.
Have to get a neckerchief.
Yeah, I'll keep a Dermot leather jacket, or no, he wears a denim jacket.
It's like an army.
Yeah, I'll keep a quality version of that off to the side of the stage, and you never know when it's going to happen, but we'll probably do it live, yeah. They do know it. My band does know the song. Sounds hilarious.
We meant
live.
To do a cappella at the convention.
Yeah, we ran
we
out.
We forgot to do it because it was on that list of questions that we didn't feel like answering. And I forgot one of them was, can you sing Jacket for us right now? And we brought the lyrics to do that and we just forgot in all the chaos of the day.
Well, the hubbub.
Yeah.
So this guy, Jason, has three questions. First, he wants to know.
See about that.
Yeah, well, first,
he wants to know if you prefer crackers and cheese or salted potato chips. What is your savory snack of choice?
Oh, wow. I used to like potato chips, but I don't eat fried foods now. So I like bread and cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a bread.
I go with a cracker and cheese, too.
You like cracker?
A good cracker, sure.
Do you like flavored crackers or like a...
Sometimes.
Like a table water cracker?
Depends on the cheese.
Do you want a vegetable cracker, then cheese on it?
That's nice, too.
You like brie.
I love brie,
You
yeah.
like brie, I know that. I like brie. It's a little sweet. I like... there's a cheese, like an aged Gouda, like a cave-aged Gouda. And at my market, they don't write cave, they say cage-aged, which is wrong. But they've never changed it on their price gun. So I have stuff that's aged in a cage.
I'll tell you what I like, a tamari almond.
Really?
Yeah, those are great.
I like old Gouda. There's a cheese called Rembrandt, which I started eating because it was called Rembrandt.
I do love a potato chip, though, from time to time. I try to avoid them.
Flavored?
But, yeah. Like those kettle ones that are, yeah.
Like a barbecue or like
the New York cheddar.
Ooh, cheddar.
Yeah.
I like a barbecue chip, I'll be honest with you.
I don't get the barbecue. Everybody loves a barbecue chip.
I like a barbecue chip.
I've never been into them.
Not like a Casey Masterpiece. They're super sweet. They're nasty. But I like your basic barbecued chip.
Right. I like a sour cream and onion.
Too
and then a pack of gum afterwards.
oh, have you ever smoked and ate a potato chip at the same time? It's horrible.
I don't see
it's
a
horrible.
Possible.
It's horrible. Smoking goes with not that many foods. It goes with every beverage, though, except for milk. But I don't drink milk. Because I smoke.
One vice at a time.
He also wants to know how your dog is.
My dog?
Yeah.
My dog's a fucking asshole. She is. She's horrible. She's horrible. She's got so much personality that you forgive it, and she's silly looking, and it's
she's got
really,
so much.
She's really entertaining sometimes.
She's your dog. You forgive
man,
it.
Man, we wanted to kill her last night. She panics all the time. She insists on sleeping. You have to make a four shape out of your legs, and she insists on sleeping in that little triangle. And then any noise, she goes, and flips out, and just she's got these stick legs that just stop on your balls. It's like somebody just taking a pool cue. And it's like the end of Casino Royale. And so that sucks. And then, like, if you eat food around her for 2 hours, she's, like, looking for food. She's, like, just single-minded and distracted.
You brought this into your life.
I know. And then
you
she
feed this
shit
and keep
on
it
the
alive.
Floor. And my girlfriend didn't see it, and she was, like, putting the laundry away. And my girlfriend had just gone, hey, can I borrow your pajama pants? And I went, sure. And, of course, they're big on her, so big floppy cuffs dragging through the dog shit while my girlfriend puts the laundry away without seeing the dog shit. So
that's disgusting. I was thinking of getting a dog now that my cat died.
I'm not a big fan of my dog at this particular moment, but, gosh, I love her when I look into those eyes. I can't stay mad at her.
Monster.
And he also wants to know how many suits Doc owns.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pushing 20, aren't you?
I'm pushing 30.
Really?
Yeah, I got about 30. A lot of suits. I just had another one made a few days ago because I realized that all my suits are fun suits. They're like play suits.
I don't have a funeral suit.
I was looking for like a black suit. It was like a regular black suit.
Right.
which I don't say black, I say black. I don't know why.
Because
I went.
You think it's racist?
Black.
So you gotta go black.
No, no, I don't think it's racist. I like the sound of blah.
Yeah.
Black. Yeah. So I just recently had
a Dracula fan.
A super like staid classic suit. I went with three buttons, if you care, which are not the happening button position right now, but it's the classic button position. So three never goes out of style. And you can button on two and then roll your third if you want to, but three is the suit. That's like the old school madman suit, three buttons. So I went with the three. I went with a double vent in the back instead of a single.
Yeah.
Where usually I go for single because I like that 60s look, but I just wanted super, but I did go nuts on the pocket. Instead of getting a flap and a ticket, which is like the British way, I went with just the double besom, which is a slit, and then I had velvet on it because I can't go not fancy.
Is that the one you wore at the convention?
No, it's being made right now.
Oh.
No.
That was a pretty normal.
Convention flag. Was a tuck. Oh, no, that had a shawl collar, 60s tux.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
with a gros grain collar with no notch, just shawl.
I only have maybe half a dozen suits.
That's a lot.
And I can't fit into some of them.
If you have...
Because I always end up buying suits when I am at my thinnest.
Yeah.
And then I gain 15 pounds.
And now you can't wear your suits.
Yeah, I can't wear like five of my suits.
Well, six is a lot of suits for a guy to have. Your basic businessman is three.
Yeah.
And that's a guy that wears a suit all the time. 30's nuts, but I love suits.
Jerome asks if Ben Edlund will be writing more episodes in the future.
No plans for that. He's still our friend.
Yeah.
I run stories by him and like pick his brain once in a while, but he's super busy and lives in LA, so I mean we wouldn't say no, but nobody's like, hey, you gotta write a script.
Yeah, he's...
And he's got other stuff on his plate right now, so...
He's a busy man. But he is also one of our closest friends, so his hand is always, at least a shadow of it, is always in our world.
Yeah. We kind of came up with the episode you're writing at his house, sort of.
A little bit, we're just riffing on that, yeah.
After San Diego Comic-Con, we were at his house and riffing with Ben. And there's a new story.
The way Ben riffs is to just laugh at our jokes so we know when they're good. He's not big with adding, he just likes to giggle. We like Ben. He's an amazingly pleasant person. Super bright.
Phil asks, if you could rewrite a scene or joke from season 1 or 2, what would you rewrite and why?
I would reanimate the Tag Sale You're It, yeah. And I would probably...
I would reanimate the Mars sequence.
Yeah, fuck.
Because that's one of my favorite things we ever did, but I'm not happy with the animation.
Yeah, and it's something you don't want to play as just... It looks all right. We're not saying the animation is bad.
I would reanimate... was it Hate Floats? That's that whole episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A crappy-looking
episode with a really good script.
An episode that doesn't get enough kudos. I like Hate Floats. That's the one where they play... charades.
What?
You right?
No, that's Home is Where the
Hate.
That
is.
Episode's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the one with the mall and the Wusthofs.
Oh, the mall.
And
God.
And that's the one that has Mars in it.
And
it's just a lumpy
off-model Dr. Girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's got the boys driving with Dr. Girlfriend. Like, that script was really good.
Shit, you're right.
And our reads are really good in that one, but it's
Oh, I would probably punch up Career in Science, first one that I wrote.
All right, then I guess I'm obligated to say the White House one, too. Another good-looking episode that...
Yeah. If you just included the Monarch, everybody would love it.
I know. Yeah, give all of Manstrong's mom's lines to him.
To the Monarch.
Yeah.
Who was his college friend? You know, just find a way to wedge him in there.
Yeah, sure. Poor Manstrong.
I'll make a Manstrong script that is good. I promise you. It will happen.
Red Menace asks, what kind of project would you like to do next?
Besides the Liam Neeson fighting vehicle?
Yeah. Liam Neeson feature film.
We're invigorated by the genre of old guy that fights people. Liam Neeson is pioneering old guy fighting people vehicles. I want to remember Hannah when I thought Hannah was that kind of movie.
Oh, right.
And you couldn't convince me that Hannah wasn't.
It was about a little girl.
Not even a little girl, that it was a... who's the woman in that? Cate Blanchett?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was Cate Blanchett fighting people, like Taken. That's what I thought Hannah was. I still kind of do because I haven't seen it yet.
I thought you did.
I want to see a Cate Blanchett martial art film where Cate Blanchett just fights people.
I think she runs around with a gun and she does some chasing, but I don't think she does any martial arts.
Like a Lifetime Who Stole My Daughter movie.
Right.
But it's Cate
with a female.
Yeah, Cate Blanchett is beating shit up because someone took her daughter.
Yeah.
And well, sold her into pornography.
What's the Jodie Foster revenge gun movie?
Witness?
No. Oh. What's that one called?
Is Lucas Haas in it and he plays a...
I think it's called Old Glory. No. What's it called?
Panic Room?
No, it's like her boyfriend, yet they get mugged or something.
Oh!
Boyfriend, and then she buys a gun. She's a radio...
Yeah.
The top radio person.
She plays Eric Bogosian.
Yeah, yeah. Bogosian.
Bogosian.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like talk radio.
It's got a one-word title, though, doesn't it? Snappy.
Wish. Yeah.
No, it's like...
Frenzied?
The scared one or something like that.
Oh, the brave one.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's what, yeah, Old Glory.
Old Glory.
It's got, like, that's the name, like, Last of the Mohicans or The Patriot should have been called, The Brave One.
Well, yeah, I would like
you
to...
You don't expect Jodie Foster's gun.
I would like to do an older female beating people up movie next. Yeah,
one.
Jackson and I are just going to slot...
Sigourney Weaver can pull that off.
You think so?
But you expect it from her.
Yeah, I know. Let's use somebody that you wouldn't. And I love Cate Blanchett because she's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yet, and she's aging like a bottle of Merlot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Cate Blanchett is kicking the shit out of people. We're going to start working on big money feature films while we're doing the Venture Brothers. And getting paid to do Venture Brothers and not tell anybody. So we're going to be getting, you know, that kind of money. And then we're just going to just abandon Venture Brothers mid-season because we're offered a lot more money to have Cate Blanchett beat people up. We have no allegiance. We'll go where the dough is. We don't care.
He also wants to know what your strangest fan encounter has been.
Oh, can I tell you something weird?
Sure.
Thank you. Two guys dressed up as us.
That was pretty strange, yeah. Somebody cosplayed us.
Can I tell you what my weird visceral reaction is?
My girlfriend took a picture with them. What?
When I first saw them, what I said was, oh, that's great. And I shook their hands and stuff, and I was being flattered. But my first reaction was to tear out their trachea with my mouth. Like, I had this, like, you are an abomination usurper. I feel like it was this wave of, like, I have to now kill that because it's not me, and what if... It roams free. It's a pod
right.
person. It was momentary. Obviously, I didn't attack them. And then I was flattered and I thought it was kind of cute. But my first reaction was to rip out their windpipe with my teeth. Because that shouldn't happen. That's a monster. I'll never have that reaction again. I'll only be flattered.
Yeah. So that's up there.
Yeah.
And then the sex offers are probably the weirdest, but we won't talk about that.
You would get weird sex offers. That happens.
What was it? Just out of curiosity.
Biz wants to know if we ever find out what happens between Brock and Bowie in Berlin.
Probably not.
Yeah, that's if that's for anything, it's for TV, but I yeah.
Yeah, we have to let them have some mysteries. You just know something happened.
Yeah.
You know? You don't know what went down in the card game where Han Solo won the Millennium Falcon. You just know there's a story there.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah asks, is direct fan interaction important in any way?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. I love our fans. We have smart fans.
They're pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, we have really good fans. I can't think of a really bad fan
encounter. Yeah, we haven't really had any of those, like, bad con experiences. I mean, it's always flattering. It's always heartwarming. You see people dress up as characters, particularly when they're really good at it. Just like you're impressed with their work on your behalf.
Yes. Some people make costumes that are mind-bogglingly good.
And we've become friends with a couple of people.
Sure.
Because they have better taste than our parents at getting us presents.
Yeah, Jesus, right?
And we have a lot more in common with them. They like a lot of the same crap. So there's another person to go, ooh, did you see this? And they send you a link to something. You're like, shit, that's cool. Did you see this?
Yeah, we like our friends. We have something in common, which is the love of our show. Also, we're in a strange position where we can answer pretty much any question. There's a lot of shows that have writers that disappear and then creators that disappear.
Right.
And where you, when you interview somebody, you're interviewing a voice actor who knows nothing. Jackson and I have the rare ability to field any question, which is why we don't field any question and talk about our personal lives, because that is the show. I mean, our show is really a conversation about our personal lives through these characters. I think that is the secret to our show, is that it's a personal show. I always immediately feel guilty when we do interviews and it's totally usurped by tangential conversations, but our show is one big tangential conversation. And I don't think people really do care about the questions that they ask. There's no way they could care
some
about
do.
That. Is Maul
yeah,
coming
that's
back?
Why we answer some.
They go home. They yeah. go home going, Maul's coming back. What? Yay! I can't believe they care.
That's it. All right. Say goodbye to the people. All right, bye-bye, people.
Bye-bye, people. Venture Brothers Season 5 coming at you in like a year and some and a few months.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Take it easy, Mike.
I need one of your cigarettes.
I'm out.
No, you're not.
No, you are not a real website. That is, you have just proven your incompetence. Ew, what is that that even, could even do that?
Alright, shellac. Let's go.
Why is there shellac in my coffee? Are we good?
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
You know, that is a tripod. You can make that not
but it's
shake.
Like, wait.
Doesn't it have legs? Telescope?
Yeah, no. But only a desk size.
It's That's a, it? That doesn't come down?
No.
It's a, it's a desk tripod.
Alright.
I had one that I
didn't. Are those all your questions, Michael? There are no off-putting ones you're afraid to ask us?
No.
Sometimes those are the most fun.
Fun, yeah. Off-putting questions are the most fun.